Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Welcome to Mo's Tropical Summer. As any regular listener knows, every summer I get to talk with people from all over the world, actually, who work or own bars with a bit of a tropical bent to them, and this summer is no exception. So sit back and relax, mix yourself a drink that has lots of fruit juices, rums, and maybe even an umbrella, and enjoy Tropical Summer. On a recent trip to Las Vegas, I was wandering around the neighborhood I was staying in search of Red Dwarf, which is a new tiki bar that I'd been hearing about. I stumbled in, and what a fun place. And I even got to meet the owner, Russ Gardner, who I'm about to interview. And I'm going to apologize right now because I was very excited to be there and to be out and about. So I talk far too much. Apologies, Russ, for that. But Russ is awesome. His first job was at Denny's. He's a certified Cicerone, which means the top most knowledgeable person about beers ever. But on top of that, a great mixer of drinks, a great lover of tiki, punk rock, surf, and so much more. Played music too. So let's talk with Russ, Russell Gardner of Red Dwarf in Las Vegas. Now we're recording.
Now we're official.
Introduce yourself. You're the owner of?
Red Dwarf.
And you are?
Russell Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Punk rock tiki bar?
Yeah. And what got you into this? There must have been something before Red Dwarf came into your life.
I've been in food and beverage like my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
My first job I had at like 15 was at a Denny's. And from there I worked at Denny's and then I worked at like a Fridays type of
Denny's
place.
Denny's made many a birthday happy for me.
Late night drinking, getting done, going to a show, having biscuits and gravy.
Are we all here in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm a born and raised
Vegas guy.
Nice.
Okay, so you know this nightlife well. You know this town.
Yeah. And I've worked in food and beverage from 15 until I turned 40 this month, next month.
next month.
September, yeah.
It's kind of a milestone birthday. Yeah. I hope you would remember that one.
Yeah.
Well, you don't look it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All that alcohol must be preserving you.
Something.
You're like, late night living in Vegas actually does somebody good.
Sometimes, you know.
So, is this the first place that you've... That's been your own?
This is the first place that I've owned, yes.
So, yes. So how did you get to this point? It's a big step.
Well, so, again, like, growing up in Vegas, going to bars since I was 15 onward, yeah. You know.
I've started going to bars in Vegas when I was young, too. I'm from San Diego, but we knew we could drive
you
out here.
You could come out here and go to bars, yeah.
I'm like, what? We're going to El Cortez to gamble at age 16, and they'll bring us drinks? I'm down.
Exactly.
But anyway, yeah. That was back in the day.
Yep. So it's kind of one of those things, like, I always go out, and there's places that I like to go, and, like, I have my favorite bars in town.
Are they still around?
Still around.
What are some of your favorites in Vegas?
Double Down, one of my favorites. I was hanging out with Moss yesterday, and he's busting my balls. I'm like, your bar doesn't have smoking, and it doesn't have gaming. No fun. And I'm like, no, man, like, it's just different, you know?
When we walked in here, my husband was like, this is like a cross between the Tiki T and that, what's that dive bar with the toilet? And I'm like, Double Down.
There you go, yeah. Yeah.
And I was all, that's good. That's
yeah. Nice and I mean, just running other people's places for the longest time and doing that. And I did everything from, you know, bartend serving, did sound for a little bit at House of Blues and kind of been around music and everything.
Oh my God,
I've
been around all
did
of it.
Brewing, you know, I worked for a brewery here in town. I've been a beer guy, one of the, I'm not going to say biggest beer guys around town, but early on I was doing craft beer when there was a couple of breweries in town. And then got working into distribution, doing, you know, beer sales, liquor sales, that kind of thing, running the state of Nevada for a couple different companies.
Wow.
And, you know, like craft beer importing and bringing brands into the state and things like that.
Nice. Very nice. Then, but that's beer that you were bringing into the state.
Beer, yeah. I mean, I did spirits for a little bit, and then just realized that beer
it's
was...
It's complicated.
Well, not that it's same thing, really. It's just that beer was more my thing, and I was like, okay, I'm much better, and the beer's what I do, it's what I like, it's what I know. And so was doing that for a while, and then pandemic, everything changed for everybody.
Yeah, no shit, man.
Totally changed. And I was running a tap room in Henderson, a brewery tap room, Astronomy Ale Works. My buddy Matt's the owner, and I was, you know, working there, and I'm like, man, what am I going to do? I've always wanted to open my own bar, and always thought I was going to have partners or have to take out a massive loan and all this crazy stuff, and then I just kind of, one night I was talking to a friend and they're like, why don't you just do it yourself? And I'm like, I don't have that much money. And she's like, well, how much money do you really need? And I'm like,
I know, it just depends what you're wanting to do.
And I'm like, you know? I don't know. So I started putting pencil down on paper and started looking. And I was like, oh, okay, like maybe I can do this. And then it was that scary part of just like, do I take the dump? Like, who needs a retirement? You know, who needs savings? You know.
Well, I'm sure you've talked to enough people who've told you, give it a couple of years and then you start to make money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it'll start coming in, and this operation you have is like, it's simple. Simple is not simple, but I mean. Some people go real nuts when they open up a bar, right? And that, I mean, all
you
bars
can
have...
You can definitely go nuts,
You can definitely go nuts, and you can definitely go down some holes. But this is something that is, like, it's... I don't want to say it's basic, because it's not basic. But this is, like, simple. You walk in, it's not pretentious. You know exactly what's happening in this bar, and it's good vibes right when you walk in. And I've found, anyway, bars, like, what people want is they want that third place. They want that place that's not their home and not their work. Where can they just go and chill out, listen to good music, have a good drink? And you've made this. This is not intimidating at all, and it's welcoming and fun.
And I think that's part of, like, the biggest thing is that I don't think I've ever wanted a place that's, you know, this super fancy, crafty cocktail bar where you walk up and
you're not looking for your Tales of the Cocktail nomination.
But I mean,
I love those bars. Don't get me wrong. I totally love
those bars too. And some of the drinks here are that same level of drinks.
We'll get into that.
But it's not done the way of like, okay, well, the person's wearing a tie and you have to make a reservation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no.
I think that's super important because there are so many people who do want to come in and have a nice drink. In Vegas, their cocktail game is like crazy and has been for quite a few years now. Mm-hmm. Wasn't for a long time, as we know. Because You head to the strip and you see those yard locks.
Yep, exactly.
I'm like, are we in New Orleans or are we in Vegas?
And those still exist.
And they're, I saw plenty of them last night when I walked the strip. I was just like, aw, look, they're still there. There's somebody that thinks that there's a lot of booze in that.
Yep,
you know?
Exactly.
Did you get a slushie at 7-Eleven? Pour in something fancy? But you can still walk into a place and feel, to me, I feel like, where's the place where you can bring a first date and not be intimidated, or you can just go like with your friends and just like have a great time and not feel intimidated. That's the thing. But if you like a fancy drink, you can get them. And that's why when I came here and I had that gin drink, with this, which is the Humu Humu fish.
Yep, the fish.
Can you say the whole thing?
Humu Humu Nuku Apua.
I really need to train myself to say that. It's
either
so beautiful.
You can say it or you cannot. I don't think there's a middle ground
in
there.
I always say, can I get the Humu Humu?
Yeah, Humu Humu, that's it. That's all you got to say.
Oh, it's delicious. Yeah. Such a delicious drink. And I was just like, this is way better than I was expecting. Yeah, not like I was expecting garbage, but it was like, so, it was like a delicately balanced drink. And I'm all, this is like you were saying, super pro. So, who creates the drinks? Is it a team effort here? Or I know you've got your own painkiller here.
Yes. So, the house menu is all drinks that I've come up with or classic. Spins on classics or classics, you know. And then our seasonal menu is very, it changes with everybody's input, everybody's help. Like, I'll have one or two drinks I'll put on, another bartender will have another drink or two, another bartender will have a drink, and we just kind of go through. And even if they have an idea, they're like, oh, I want to do this, but it's not quite right there. We all sit down together and we, okay, hey, it needs a little more citrus.
Yeah, you do the R&D together.
Exactly. You know, and we enjoy a beverage together.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
So, okay, so that means if you're coming up with these and you just sat there telling me all about your, there's a red ant coming your way, all about your beer time, obviously you've got a lot of experience in the cocktail world too, because creating drinks like this, especially when you've got a tiki bar, is not easy. Because, I mean, tiki drinks notoriously have like 1,000 ingredients, right? In fact, I've said this so many times on the podcast, but I have a good friend in New York who's always been a tiki guy, but New York doesn't really support tiki that much, so he kind
of... It's different when you're in that big, giant city.
Yeah,
and
they have a different vibe
there. Different vibe, yeah.
Different vibe. But he's always loved those, and I remember him saying to me, well, if you think about it, Don and Vic, the early tiki guys, were the first craft cocktail guys because they were blending rums. They were using, like, 14 or 15 ingredients. Everybody else is doing, like, here's some bathtub gin, and here's something to make it not taste like bathtub gin, and here's your cocktail. No, you know, no crime against that.
Yep.
But these early tiki guys were the first craft cocktail guys because they were like, if you free pour this, you will fail. This will not taste right. So here you are, beer guy, self-proclaimed beer guy, who's crafting wonderful cocktails here. So where did you get that from? What was your cocktail experience that you learned all that?
Well, I mean, I've always
been... It's not easy.
I've always been working in the industry. You're not just a beer guy or just a cocktail guy.
You're
doing both a little bit.
Yeah.
And part of that, you know, as a working as a bartender or even as a server at certain places, like, you have to know your liquors and your spirits.
Yeah.
I've always been a tiki guy. I've always liked tropical drinks. Like, just always have. And it's funny. One of my friends that's actually here for brunch today for the first time for brunch, I remember when I was talking to him about this concept, and he's like, so basically you're opening a bar that is yourself. It is 100% you as a bar. He's
right?
Like, it's a little bit punk rock.
That's
it's
what
a little
my
bit
said
it's a little bit rockabilly,
us.
It's a little bit tiki. It's just a little bit of these things.
Yeah. And that was like, ours. They're like, it's a rock and roll cocktail dive bar. And it's like, with mermaids.
Yeah. You know, and that's what it is.
This is perfect.
And the people that know me and that had been to my house before I opened this up, they're like, oh, so you basically just took your house and built it into a bar.
That's awesome.
You know, and that's I think one reason why, where you're saying it's genuine. It feels non-pretentious and non-changing, where it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where were you at when you felt like you had nailed this craft thing? I mean, were you working? You were working bars here, I'm guessing.
So I was doing like not beverage director, but I ran bar programs for a beverage group.
Wow.
Before I got into the distribution thing.
Oh, and wow. So that's kind of a big deal.
I did beer education for them. And then when I got into the distribution side, I was doing like beer education for the entire state. Anybody that was doing, if you wanted to have a beer program or a craft beer program, I'd train all your staff and do all that kind of stuff. But that also came with, I was doing craft cocktails for these same venues that were craft beer, craft cocktail venues, you know, putting that all together and then doing that.
Hey. I noticed too on your menu, like the drink I just finished, has a Smokeway and whiskey in it, which is a local Vegas brand. And so is there a Shandy on the menu somewhere? I feel like I saw it. Maybe not here.
A Shandy per se.
But you've got a nice beer list here.
We have a very nice beer list. And it is constantly rotating. Lots of locals, lots of regionals, specialty one-off kegs. I mean, there's people that come in thinking, hey, we're going to go to a tiki bar, and then the husband or wife or whoever.
Well, my husband, after two drinks, he was just like, I think I'm going to have a beer now, you know, because as we know, we who love tiki and tropical drinks, they can get a little sweet, even if you try not to make them terribly sweet.
Or boozy.
Sometimes you want that beer to cleanse the palate, you know. And it's like, people will crave it. You'll hear about people going to Tiki Oasis and be like, I always bring a six-pack of beer or a case of beer because at some point I'm just like, give me something that's not rum. Give me something that doesn't have pineapple in it.
Yes. Well, and that's kind of part of it is, like, I'm a beer guy.
Yeah.
And when I bought this place, it didn't have any draft beer, so we
installed a whole draft. Yeah, I was going to say, tell me about this space that you've got. Like, because you're saying, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll open up my own bar. And you've got this really nice space. How did this fall into your lap? It didn't fall into your lap, I'm sure.
This was not a very nice space when I took it over.
Well, of course not.
Not at all.
Of course not. And you're next door to, like, Sabor Latino, which I walked by and I was like, oh, I think they have Colombian food in there, which is my family. Mm-hmm. Well, Colombian, Mexican, oh, it's a Pan Latin. Okay, I can eat in there.
Yeah.
And then there's pigeons outside and there's all this. I'm like, this is proper because this is like you're probably fighting the cockroaches on it daily.
So it's an interesting thing.
But I love it.
If you ask some people that are newer to Vegas or whatever, they're like, oh, that's a really rough part of town. Mm-hmm. We're a mile and a half from the Arts District, which is like new happy place where everybody's got beers and cocktails everywhere.
And also where we're staying is Paradise Palms, which is like the mid-century neighborhood.
Yep.
Which is like if Palm Springs had like a dirtier little brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like a 20-minute walk. It's just across the street from here. But Vegas, though, you've lived here forever. My husband and I always joke around, Vegas is full of zombies. Everywhere you go, there's like somebody wandering around the street who's probably got a meth problem or something.
Yes.
I'm from San Diego. We're not that much better.
This area is kind of that. I've noticed because of not just us moving here and opening this space, but for this plaza, this has changed the plaza a little bit. It used to be really rampant and run down. I mean, this bar, the reason it was shut down was it was raided.
Really?
By the cops, and they arrested everybody. Ownership, all the bartenders.
Was it a drug or sex? The place I took over was a sex thing.
Oh, very nice. Okay, look at that.
I know. I walk in there, and I'm like, you can just feel the dirty, sexy vibes in this bar sometimes.
Yeah.
It was a hostess bar.
Hmm.
So... Yep. Sometimes things go a little awry in hostess bars.
Yep.
You're supposed to see the feet on the ground at all times.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we come from the same place.
Yep.
We got ours at a steal as well.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic, though. So you were like, wait, got shut down by the cops? Let's swoop in and make it legit.
Yeah, it was. And it's been a bar since 73, 74,
nice.
Give or take.
Okay. So the license was already here.
So California and Nevada are different with licensing. Like I had to redo all the licensing and everything. It's not like you can buy a license. You have the new person has to get the license.
Start
and blah,
over
blah,
again.
Blah. Different than other states. And so that's a mob thing too, by the way.
It's
an old mob thing.
I believe that, and there's a part of me that kind of loves that.
Yeah.
Because Vegas.
Yeah. So the space was here, and it was. It'd been a bar for almost 50 years, you know.
So it
was called the Keyboard Lounge from 73, 74 up to
the
about 81.
Lounge.
Well,
part of me really wants to know what kind of music they had during the Keyboard Lounge.
So the Keyboard Lounge days, they were probably the busiest nightclub in Vegas.
Really?
Or one of the busiest nightclubs in Vegas.
Really?
We're talking mid to late 70s.
Was it like just classic kind of...
So the two owners were entertainers.
I'm just
he played
thinking
keys,
of that skit
she played
on
bass.
Saturday Night Live, the sisters.
And that's a little more 80s.
It's
a little more 80s. Okay, so this was 70s, but the owner owned the building.
And
the the bar was my location and almost all the way down to the end.
Wow.
It was all the way down to the barbershop.
Okay.
So it had
the whole collecting rent from the folks down the end.
The whole bar.
Went all the way down.
It was a massive bar.
Wow.
Massive. Like I said, it was one of the busiest nightclubs in town.
Okay, here's my adjacent question. Do you think this place is haunted?
I'm going to say probably, because a lot of people have said things to me, mm-hmm. and I'm not against it, for it, against it, anything like that. My mm-hmm. daughter's huge into, you know, ghosts under the cheese. Told me, she's like, Dad, there's vibes in here. I get it. She was in here last night having a beer with her girlfriend, and she's like, Dad, I'm getting vibes. Like, my bartenders are like, oh yeah, there's some weird stuff that happens in here.
Every
like,
once in a while, keys go missing and show up in the middle of the floor.
Weird things, you know, little things. And that the Keyboard Lounge, mm-hmm. the only reason that closed is the husband was murdered. The wife did it. Mob hit. The wife put the hit out on her husband.
That's for sure. Just legend?
Though? For sure, 100%.
Really?
She went to prison. The guy that did it went to prison.
House of Gucci.
Yeah. $5,000 was what a mob hit in 1980 cost. Obviously a bad mob hit because they got caught.
I was going to say.
Obviously a bad one, but that's what it cost, you know, $5,000.
Wow, so the place was open for just about a decade. And then she was just like, I don't want to divorce the guy, but if I kill the guy, I can make money out of it.
She wanted the bar.
I was going to say, she could inherit all the space.
And she ended up going to prison. And then it reopened in 81 as the Smuggle Inn.
Smuggle Inn.
The Smuggle Inn.
That's kind of a great name.
And so the Smuggle
Inn. Also sounds dirty.
Dirty. It was a little bit nautical. Oh, wasn't tiki by any means, but it's like at the time.
But that's early 80s
was a nautical-ish kind of a theme.
Well, Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it was the Smuggle Inn.
The drinks must have been very colorful at that time.
So I've seen old menus. Yeah. It was very heavy wine.
Oh, well, that makes sense,
Lots of wine. They had, like, a full scratch kitchen in the back. They made their own pastas. They were doing their own sauce. Like, they were doing...
That's like the tail end of the swinger kind of era. Yep. So that mm-hmm. kind of makes sense mm-hmm. to me.
Makes sense.
No women wore bras here.
Oh, no. Well, also you have to kind of think back a little bit. So the Paradise Palms neighborhood that you're talking about...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
In the 70s, that was the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. The house that we live in, like a couple times a year because it's our friend's house. The guy who designed it lived there. And he had the aging Rat Pack come mm-hmm. to visit. But Esquivel was a neighbor.
Yeah.
And he talked about how Esquivel would come over. And they talked about the parties they had and the bars and all this stuff. And that was like 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
House was built in like 68 or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And so another thing, the first high-rise in Vegas was built in 77.
Wow.
At the Vegas Country Club. The Vegas Country Club is across the street. I mean, people walk from the Country Club.
Yeah.
They're like, that's a five-minute walk to walk across from their house.
That was the first high-rise?
That was the first high-rise in 77.
Wow. That took
a while. it took a bit in Vegas. You know, built out and didn't go up.
Yeah, that's true.
So that was the first high rise,
wow.
And the country club neighborhood in the 70s was where all the VPs of the casinos lived. If you didn't live in Paradise Palms,
then you lived
in the country club.
Yeah.
So this bar is right between
the two. It's right smack in the middle.
It's the middle of both of them. So this was the bar.
That's so cool. You know?
History of the space. I tried to keep as much of that history as possible.
Well, you know,
doing a disservice to what I'm doing now.
Yeah, and actually, something that when we sat down at the bar is laminated with album covers.
Yes.
And we were looking at those, and then I pulled back, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. If he went to the Goodwill and pulled these for 99 cents. He kept the records because they're here on the bar. It's like the vinyl is wrapped around the bar, and then the album covers are laminated underneath.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if this isn't a music and booze bar, I don't know what is. And there's bands, which we have in the background. So, and but a lot of the stuff around the top is like of that era. It's kind of 50s, 60s, 70s kind of stuff. Was there a method to your madness?
I went and I have a very extensive record collection.
Excellent.
I also was not going to ruin my record collection.
Yeah,
and
no
put,
shit, man.
Put an original, when you know, Sex Pistols album on top of the bar.
Right?
Like, no, I want to listen to it. I don't want to put it on the bar.
I have framed albums in my house. But my favorite record albums, right, or album covers. I'm like, I love this album cover, but I need to get a second version of that because my record that's in my collection, I'm not going to pull the cover and just frame it and leave that record by itself.
Chilling, yeah.
Chilling in a plastic sleeve. No. So, yes, I totally understand where you're coming from.
So I went through, and it took me a couple of months or whatever, and I went through and I sifted through records, and I know a couple local record store owners, you know, Moondog Records, they were awesome.
Yeah.
He'd get in stuff and it would be something that was scratched or something where the cover wasn't pristine. And he's like, I know Russell liked this. He set it aside for me. So I'd go in there and he'd have two crates of records kind of set aside. Yeah. And then I'd go through and I'm like, cool, I'll take this crate and half of this crate, you know, and I'd pay him for him. And he was super happy. And he got his stuff, I got my stuff. And then I'm like, all right. And then when I went to do the project of putting all the records down, my sister is a big music girl too, and we sat down and we're like, all right, let's do this. And we had the bar top just blank and empty, and so we just started grabbing records and started throwing them down, and we're like, okay, well, let's go this pattern and let's lay them sideways and diagonal just because it's more fun.
It looks so cool. And my husband and I sat down at an Elvis section. There's like two or three Elvis records. One is a Hawaii Elvis and everything, and we were married by an Elvis impersonator. So
as
we were
everyone
just,
should be.
To me, it's the only way. Absolutely. Yes. We sat down and I was just like, this is so perfect. This bar is, not only are the drinks perfectly calibrated for the space, but the bar with its album covers is calibrated for the space. And I'm sure you didn't think that because, as your friend said to you, you just took yourself and put it in bar form.
Basically, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So all those records, you put those covers down there, and did you just take the records and staple them around the bar afterwards?
I mean, a little more involved than that, but basically, yes.
But, okay, so you got this space, and you decided, I'm going to make it a live music thing, too. And what that's kind of daunting to have the... We have entertainment in our bar, but to decide we're going to be a punk rock, surf rock, etc.
So
you book everything.
Yeah, so I was booking everything for a little bit. Now my girlfriend Natalie is kind of, she's been in the music industry a long time.
Nice.
I've been doing a bunch of stuff. She's like, babe, I want to help out. I want to do stuff. And I was like, perfect.
Book
like,
our bands.
Like, you know what you're doing. Cool. And I'll still book bands because I still know people. And
yeah.
Born and raised Vegas, I played in a band. I was in a punk rock band.
What'd you play?
Drums. I actually played with the Swing Bastards.
Shut up.
Everybody in this town has played with the Swing Bastards. Yeah.
So tell me about your band days, though. I mean, if you started playing, when did you start playing drums?
I started, so I played in like junior high and high school, but then in high school.
That was for yourself, just because you needed to pound shit out?
Yeah, well, you know, like I was like, I want to play drums, whatever, you know.
Drums are fucking awesome. You know, okay, you'll know this as a drummer. Drums always get the worst memes about band members are always about the drummers,
about
right?
Drummers. Always, yeah.
But drummers need to keep the beat. I'm sorry. It's drummers and bass players get the shit, but they're the ones that keep the songs going.
You know, yeah.
So you were playing drums, and I joke around because, like, I wanted to play the drums just because I wanted it to be, like, to pound on something.
Yeah.
You know,
It's just something I wanted to do. I was doing it. High school kind of came around, and I was doing more football and sports and stuff, so I couldn't do marching band and all that. So I kind of went away during high school or after my freshman year in high school. And then from there, it was... I had a child super young and did that kind of stuff, and I was like, and then I got my own place, and I was like, I'm buying a drum kit. Like, I'm doing this. I'm 18, 19, something like that. I was like, I'm buying a drum kit, and got a drum kit and had some friends, and we started a punk band.
Here we go. Was there like a band, or was there, what made you want to play drums? Was there like any song in particular? Any band that you followed?
I can't say. I mean, when I was just a little kid, I mean, when I was like 4 or 5.
You were like banging on plastic.
Pots and pans and plastic and stuff. I remember getting like a little drum pad machine one year for Christmas when I was like...
And it was a total like Radio Shack
older.
Version probably, right?
I mean, I don't even remember. I remember it had the four little pads on it, and I'd sit there and I'd put my headphones in and I'd just bang on it with sticks for hours.
What were
and
you
hours.
Playing?
I don't even know.
You were just making noise.
Just making noise.
That's
and
so boy
it had all the different... You could, you know, program. This was this had to be early 90s, mm-hmm. late 80s, early 90s, probably late 80s.
You gotta love that about drums, though. I mean, you can program
each little pad for a different sound, and I'm over there just making beats and sounds, and it was...
Well, now that you're a bit older, you've got to have some drummers that you look to, and you're like, that's a good fucking drummer, man. I mean, there's got to be people out there.
Whenever I'm at a show, at a concert, like, I'm always looking at the drummer.
Watching the drummer.
Always.
So, what are some songs now that are like, yeah, I listen to this because that drummer is fucking awesome.
That's tough.
You gotta
man.
Have some. I mean, I got my husband sitting in there drinking beer, who's a huge Dave Grohl fan.
So,
and
I would
honestly,
say,
I cannot. Dave Grohl is an amazing.
He's
drummer.
Awesome, and he's a super nice dude too.
And a super nice dude.
Super nice dude.
You know, which is just like
I would say. I've been listening to a lot of Sandy Nelson.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, and he recently passed away, but he lived in Boulder City, which is
I didn't know that.
15, 20 minutes from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of his very good friends is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Age gap, completely different friend is my age. You know, my age and friends with Sandy Nelson. Mm-hmm. But he kind of was a little bit of a caretaker for him in his later years and lived in Boulder City, you know, out in Henderson and stuff. And so I knew him and got to talk with him on things. But
probably heard some great stories.
Great stories, but also like when he split off from the Ventures and did his own thing and like Teen Beat and that kind of stuff, where it's just it's music of like him like playing drums and just like it has a guitar and it has sax and stuff in it, but it's just this cool garagey surf swing feel, and it's just awesome.
Just makes you happy.
Musicianship, it's just great, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got, right now, I mean, you have this space, and what kind of bands do you usually, I mean, we're here, we've got a surf band right now, but it's Surf Brunch, yo!
Surf Brunch, exactly.
Which I love that's a thing. When you texted me, or sent me the email and said, oh, come on Sunday, it's Surf Brunch, I told my husband, like, it's Surf Brunch, he's like, fuck yeah!
Yeah, like, that's what you gotta do, yeah.
I was like, that's easy enough, but, you know, you've been doing some booking yourself, what kind of bands are you looking for? And
so,
are you picking for this space, or are you just doing what you want? Because it's your bar.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, the space has its own feel to it. And it does. We don't want to go outside of that too far in any direction.
Yeah.
Because then it kind of loses the identity of what we're doing. Yeah. But at the same time, we are a venue for bands to play at. Mm-hmm. You know? And so we have Warsaw Poland Brothers playing here on Thursday. Ska.
Yeah.
Old school ska. You know? And then and that's cool because that's a band that's been on the road for 40 years.
Ever.
You know, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And they played here. They're like, this place is awesome. Like, we will play here every time we come
to
Vegas.
It's a great space.
Well,
great space.
The sound is really good in the room.
Oh, so my husband works in sound in Hollywood on TV commercials. And within seconds sitting down, he's like, the sound in here is really good. I'm going to put some napkins in my ears. And I was like, excellent. So he right away was like, this sound place is great in here.
It's so...
Well, some of that has to, you're a musician.
Well, so
that.
I'm a musician when it comes to the sound of the speaker placements and all that kind of stuff, but the original bar location, it was designed by musicians in the 70s, because they were musicians and they had bands here all the time. They had live music every night of the week.
Nice.
Back in the 70s.
Nice.
So that combined with everything, like, I can't take full credit of
the space. So it was built properly as well.
It was built properly.
Yeah.
I changed things and changed it to more modern and different, built the stage, redid the sound system and things like that. But we'll have punk bands here where people come up to us after the show and they're like, that's the best I've ever heard this band sound. You know, and they're quote-unquote shitty local punk bands.
Yeah.
They're good,
but
they play at crappy dive bars where you can't hear the vocals or you can't hear anything. Yeah. And then people come, they're like, wow, like, we could hear, like, we could hear him sing. I don't know if we want to hear him sing, but we can hear him sing, you know. And we do punk and we do rockabilly and we do blues and we do this tiki surf punk and we've done folk and folk punk and
metal. Well, what do you listen to when you're at home? Because obviously you love all of these things. So what's on your playlist at home?
Okay.
You know?
So it's,
maybe I should ask you this. If you weren't bound by the vibe of this bar, which is great and all this stuff, if you could book anyone you wanted, do you have like a dream, like, I don't care if this crowd digs it or not, this is who I want to play in my bar?
No, I mean, there's been a couple things. Like, it's funny when it comes on, just part of it's like childhood, how I grew up, like
Buck 09,
old ska, like San Diego, SoCal ska.
I was gonna say,
SoCal,
I told you I'm
ska.
From San Diego.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? My brother was playing in bands in San Diego at that time, like early 90s, and so he knew those guys.
It's like one of those things, like, comes on, I'm like, man,
it makes you happy.
I would do anything to book these guys. Like, I don't think they're playing anymore, they're not touring around.
I don't think they are.
But it'd be one of those things, I'm like, fuck yeah, like, that'd be fun. Just because that fits the space.
At home, but it would make you really happy too.
It would make me happy, absolutely.
That's so valid.
At home, I listen to a lot of jazz.
Really?
Like old, smoky, dirty jazz. Not the weird, acid-y, funky stuff, but like early stuff.
Smoky, dirty, like you feel like you walked into that bar and you immediately absorbed all the cigarette smoke
into
your clothes.
In like New York or Chicago in like the 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. Like that's, I listen to a lot of that kind of stuff.
Which is that stuff? Actually, I had this opportunity where, I'm going to relish saying this till the end of days. I was cat-sitting in a penthouse in Soho for a month
this year.
And my husband had never been to New York, and I was like, come out, because this is the time. We've got this place to stay in this swanky part of town. And he's a total jazz guy, and I'm like, listen, the East Village is a 10-minute walk from where we are.
Yeah.
Blue Note, you know, Village Vanguard, these places are here.
Yep.
Even if the band isn't great, let's just go absorb the vibes of being in that space.
Well, and like that's the thing. If it's done right, I mean, the UNLV Jazz Society that they have, they put out great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big vibes fan. I love vibes. Like some old, like, Milt Jackson, that kind of smoky early Coltrane before it got kind of weird. You know, Chet Baker, you know, Stan Getz,
and Chet
things
Baker.
Like that.
Stan Getz. Anytime Stan Getz is on, I'm happy.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, and any recording.
I listen to a lot of that at home, but at the same time, I listen to a lot of this at home. I listen to surf. I listen to rockabilly. I listen to old punk and, you know, an old ska. And that's, the playlist was my playlist before I opened the bar. I didn't change the music necessarily for the bar. It was just, I was like, oh, I'm making this playlist. Cool. Let me just add more songs to it. So now it's like 92, 94 hours.
Oh my god.
but it all fits the same vibe. And it's got garage, it's got punk, it's got, you know, some funky blues, it's got some Beastie Boys and early hip hop and
totally
Run DMC and stuff like that. But it's like people walk in, they're like, all right, I get it. Like,
again, and this rolls right back to this not intimidated kind of thing. Because it comes in and it all fits that vibe. It's very funny. We've said vibe, I don't know how many times during the course of the last half hour.
Many, many times,
But it's super important, and people pick up on that. You know, they really do. And so, like I said, I walked into this place the first time and was immediately like, this is great. This place is, I feel comfortable here. I can sit down and have a drink. I don't care if the drinks are not great. I don't care if the food is not great. This place has a great vibe, and I want to be here.
And then you had the food and you had the drinks and
and they were great. I was telling you, I had the pizza and I was like, this is the best pizza I've ever had in my fucking life. This Detroit thing is not a lie. This Detroit pizza is no joke.
The first month we had our kitchen open, that was what everybody kept saying. They're like, we didn't expect the pizza to be good. And I was like, why not? They're like, it's pizza and you're a dive bar. Like, man, we wouldn't expect it to be good. And then they're like, this is the best
pizza
we've ever
had. And
that's
when you learn it's not exactly a dive bar. Yeah. You know, you may have the trappings of a dive bar, but it's not. It's psyching you out because it's making people down. It can bring people into that vibe again of what you're doing. So back to the band. So we've got a wonderful surf band playing right now in the background and everything. So is the Sunday brunch, are you still doing that, or is it your girlfriend who's doing the booking on the
ride? Sunday brunch is something.
Sunday surf brunch,
Sunday
which
surf
I don't
brunch.
Know if we've said here. When you said that, I was like, yes, I'm so down with
so
that.
So Sunday surf brunch we do every Sunday, and for the most part, it's a slew of local bands, unless we have somebody that's coming from out of town.
But Vegas has a lot of great local bands.
We do. And it's fun because, for me, it's who's showing up on Sunday. Because I've talked to all of them, and I'm like, all right, guys. you guys are all in charge of this. Just whoever's going to show up, this is what you're going to get paid every Sunday. Yeah. Show up, play music. That's cool. If you can't show up for any reason, or nobody can show up, let me know, and I'll reach out to a couple other people that maybe are not in this. Mm-hmm. And if I get somebody from out of town that's coming through Vegas or playing Friday, Saturday, and they fit for a Sunday gig, it's just a little bit of extra money in their gas tank, pizza, some drinks before they get back on the road.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and the bands have really liked that, you know. And we had a really awesome... they're out of LA, Los Bacalolos.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They played Saturday night and then they played Friday night with another punk band, and so they played like a punky kind of set that was awesome. And then they played Surf Brunch and it was packed. It was awesome. It was.
It's a great crowd in there too.
They're good people too.
1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, that's what we're doing. Wonderful. You know.
Do you ever get to play with anybody anymore?
I'm getting back into it a little bit.
Yeah,
Last time I sat behind my drum kit was when I had just installed the PA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
had some friends, had a little jam session, had some singing, had some stuff, had some people sitting out there that could hear everything. And I'm like, okay, do we need more? Do we need to move this? Do we need to change this? You know, let's put things where they need to be.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, like this
sounds great.
Like,
yeah.
Sounds great. So.
Awesome. I love it. So, well, this is probably a good place to wrap things up and have, you know, tell people what's your Instagram, if people should follow you, where should they get the most current info, when should they find out when D&D night is?
Yes. So much fun.
Which I love that you do that. It's like, what, twice a month or something?
Twice a month, yep.
Twice a month you guys do some D&D as
D&D,
well.
D&D, it's appropriate. It's not like what you would normally think of D&D. It's like, show up to a bar, drink some beer, bring some dice, we give you everything else. We will tell you the story. You might be competing against your friends next to you at the bar. You might not be. You're just playing and having a good time.
It's so great. And see, that's another thing that brings it to like human level.
Yeah.
It's not pretentious. How can it be pretentious if you got fucking D&D happening there? That is like an equalizer to me. D&D's here? Oh, all are welcome.
Oh, cool.
All are welcome.
We've got that. We've got burlesque. We've got
that's
other
right.
bands,
I did see you
DJs.
Just had a burlesque night, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of shit. So where should people find all that out?
So you have our website. It's reddwarflv.com.
Mm-hmm.
Our Instagram is reddwarflv.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Facebook, reddwarflv.
All of the above. And if
all
anyone
above.
Wants to follow you, are you to the public, or do you let your bar social media do the talking?
The bar social media does most of the talking. I'm not going to lie. I haven't checked mine very much, but mine...
That's super smart of you.
Yeah, like...
I love that for
well,
you.
Well, so I will say this. I did not have social media of any kind ever. Well, hold on. I had MySpace back in the day. My band had MySpace.
No. I was going to say you're a good person. We all had MySpace. I had Friendster.
So,
and then the MySpace.
Let me tell you something even weirder.
Yeah.
Your MySpace page is still there.
Oh, I know. I'm sure. I couldn't get into it anymore to make it go away. At some point, everything.
Even if you want it to go away, it won't go away. It's still there.
This is one of these.
It's still there.
These just internet discussions. How anything you ever put on the internet
is staying
there
forever. Yes.
And I'm actually okay with that because I always treated the internet as like I was never I've never been a personal. I'm just like, here's a cool picture I found.
Yep.
So if somebody wants to dig up my MySpace, they're going to see a picture of cats wearing Rick James wigs.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's how I am.
If someone digs up my MySpace, they'll find some old punk rock picture. Probably pretty big mohawk back in the day. I had the mop hair for a while.
Nice.
Yeah, playing some fun shows.
I'm down with that. Oh, good. See, fun shows. There we go. All right, well, cool. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about this place. I'm so excited that Red Dwarf exists, and it is just perfect to me. It's
No, thank you.
The vibe is fantastic.
It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah, no, totally. And you've only been open for how long?
7 months.
7 months.
7 months.
So this is 2022. You guys opened
end of December.
End of December of 2021.
Yep.
May you be here for a gazillion years.
Hope
Good
so.
Luck to that.
Hope
Thank
so.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Russ, for letting me talk all over you. That was a real case of interruptus there from me, but he still got to say some stuff, and it was lovely, and I'm so glad that I got to talk to him, kind of take up a bunch of his time when he was, you know, working at his bar. Anyway, go to reddwarf_LV on Instagram to see more of what's going on there. They have entertainment all the time, and they list it there. If you are in Las Vegas Labor Day weekend, consider going to Red Dwarf on Friday night that weekend because it will be Russell's 40th birthday and there's going to be a big old party happening there and you know that's going to be fun. Also, if you head over to my Facebook page, Mo Herms on Facebook, I've got a link to a Spotify playlist that was the first incarnation of Red Dwarf's just music. It's a 69-hour playlist. There's a lot to listen to. So again, thanks so much, Russ, for letting me talk your ear off at your bar on your surf brunch Sunday. That place is just a load of fun. I highly recommend it to any of you. And what a great way to wrap up this summer, right? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.